All right. Well, welcome back to the Critical Mass Podcast. I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
And we still don't have any opening music.
That's not my fault.
No.
I don't sing.
Oh, well, that makes two of us. I was dissuaded from my singing career more than a number of years ago.
No American Idol in your future?
No American Idol in my future.
The Voice.
So I guess all that remains is to blame the children because they are forbidden to speak and thus cannot defend themselves.
Correct.
Isn't that right? See? He's being obedient. Anyway, new theme music. I'll get to it. I'll find something. Something will happen. Let's see. Little housekeeping. The Atomic Earth Kickstarter is still on the way, and I still have not figured out how to work my video camera, which is kind of embarrassing.
Didn't it come with an instruction manual?
I wondered what that little piece of paper with the...
In Japanese.
With all the Japanese writing on it was. Yeah, but mainly it's just been a matter of time. You know, paid work is killing both of us. And
yeah, I'll die first.
And probably you will. So we missed Fear the Con.
Yeah,
and
you suck.
Yeah, but we got to do Free Comic Book Day. Well, I took the kids to Free Comic Book Day.
That's cool.
And we got pictures of people in costume, and that was cool. And then we did the Avengers. Yes.
Oh, I saw something cool.
Say on.
Oh, I went to Facebook.
Yeah.
It's maintenance. Well, somebody posted Fear the Boot episode 200.
Okay.
That's the video one, right? It's like 7 minutes.
Right.
There's two pictures in there. One of your White Wolf game.
Oh, Nokia.
Yeah, that's one of the only role-playing games. And then they got a shot of Hussey's Battletech game.
Uh-huh.
But it's when he's doing Gorka Mork. You see us in the background. So there's two pictures in there. We're in
them. We're in them both. Yeah. That's awesome.
I was like, oh, hey, I know that.
Hey, that Gorka Morka game was the bomb. That was...
People wanted that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And yeah, you know what? That Gilligan's Island World of Darkness didn't work out quite the way I had envisioned it.
Never does.
And, well, you know what? I think it would have been a fine, but I knew I was in trouble. When, you know, we did the opening song, and I got participating, and everybody had their characters, and some of them were familiar with White Wolf, and some of them weren't, but that was okay. And then, you know, one of the staples of the Gilligan's Island show was always the guest stars.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, you guys see a helicopter. Oh, we wave it down. All right. You make your flags and build it, and it lands. Yeah, it lands, and out jumps Jeff Probst. And the silence was deafening.
Because they didn't know?
And, yeah, they didn't know who Jeff Probst was.
How the hell do you not know?
And I said, out jumps Jeff Probst of Survivor. And they kind of looked at me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, Survivor where they vote you off the island? Oh, okay. So they did a little thing with Jeff. And I'm like, all right. And, you know, Jeff says, all right, well, there's only, and they were competing over an idol or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff says, all right, there's only one way to resolve this. We've got to have a castaway challenge, you know, which is another trope of Survivor. You got to have the challenge. And he claps his hands, and gaffers and assistants and stuff,
crew,
you know, drop from the palm trees and run up the beaches and build an obstacle course real quick and vanish. And instead of embracing the madness and participating in the obstacle course, they're like, where did all these people come from? How did they get off? We can get off the island like that.
Oh.
And what about the chopper that Jeff came on?
We went through that several times to make it clear.
Yeah, it's not only did I wind up with a group of people that had never seen Survivor, which I thought was just a perfect match for Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
But a group of people who I guess had never seen Gilligan's Island.
Oh my God.
Blasphemy. So, yeah, the guy who played the professor even admitted to it that he had never seen Gilligan's Island. So,
is he a toddler? Jeez.
I don't know. I don't know.
Damn kids.
Anyway, hey, I have educated my kids.
Yes.
They have seen.
They know too much.
They know, that's true. They know too much.
I know too much.
So anyway, yeah, that was fun. That was cool. Yeah, we had a good time anyway. It just, nothing went quite the way I had envisioned it.
Yeah, at least they didn't eat him, didn't they? Werewolf going to eat him? You told me somebody's eating somebody.
So I don't remember exactly what happened. The rest of it, they wound up doing something with the island volcano, and the werewolf did something, and the professor did something else because Skipper was a werewolf, and
yes,
Ginger was the vampire.
I think so because she was the seductress.
Yeah,
because the professor had to bend the damn mage because Greg wanted the mage.
Yes, that's right.
Because he can make anything work, so it's a coincidence.
But yeah, anyway. So, Atomic Earth, what I'll do is I'm just going to keep the flow of artwork going to the blog. I'm going to drop some more things in there and hopefully a link or two to... That's still not ready to be viewed yet. The game side isn't ready to be viewed yet. I've been... working instead of...
I think time sucks.
It does. You know, I've been working on this stuff that pays money instead of the things that are truly important. And
yeah, that's true.
I got to get my priorities in straight. Anyway.
Sleep's overrated.
It feels that way. So we missed Fear the Con, and we're kind of bummed about that. But probably saved us both about $600.
Yeah, the dealer I talked to him, I wanted to get my books.
Oh, right. Yeah, how'd that go?
He goes, no problem, not all your order came in the first place.
Ooh.
I was like, really? Well, what did come? He's like, don't worry about it. Well, I go, if you got any left in the con, tell me, I'll buy him anyway.
Oh, that was cool. Never heard from him, did you? Well, I told you he wouldn't.
It was the Deadlands stuff.
Oh,
I know they got that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, well, I'll just order it from Noble Knight.
Yeah, that's some of the stuff I was planning to get to, and yeah. Yeah, I'll just order it from Pinnacle.
Yeah, or Noble Knight.
One of these places, yeah. Yeah. But
bummed me.
Yeah, we could, I guess I could even go to one of our friendly local comic stores.
Yeah, Bonnie was not lying about what he'd do. Tell him, he'll get it, and he'll be there in 3 days.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, so I'm like, hell, I'll talk to him.
Hey, Bonnie is on the ball, and Matt Hawes at Comics Unlimited, he's like, you know what, I'll get you anything you want in... as long as it's in his supplier's list.
Yeah.
So, and he draws from the same supplier everybody else does. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can still get the toys.
Yeah, we just got to decide how.
But that's all right. Sacrificed Fear the Con for opening weekend of the Avengers. Now they are saying the highest grossing opening weekend
ever
of all time. Yeah.
Yes.
That is truly awesome.
It very nearly made its budget the first weekend. That is scarier.
Well, it's a guarantee of a sequel.
In the end. Because they didn't count the international. And internationally, when it limited, it made $179 million. It was on the internet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that combined, it's made its budget. And now everything's
great. Oh, yeah. Everything else is money that can go towards the sequel. Doggone. Right. I just hope they bring back Joss Whedon or Jon Favreau. Or somebody that we like to direct because it was awesome.
Just Hulk smash.
But you and I snuck out to the first showing on Friday morning.
Yeah,
left the kids behind for that one. and it was the theater was very nearly packed.
Yeah. I got there and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I remember that was school was out due to snow day.
Yeah.
I was like, holy.
But that's all right. Neither one of them. I didn't even try to go to the midnight showings.
I didn't know. I don't even bother because I know I didn't.
We're old and decrepit nowadays.
I could,
but
I'd be, I'd probably stayed awake because it was exciting enough.
Well, it was that.
So, and, but no, it'd be a pain in the ass.
But you didn't go with us when we went to the drive-in.
No.
Because it was us and Steve and his
brood,
his clan, clan, and he had extra clan because his boys had just had been to a baseball game earlier, and he had two or three extras from the ball game
leftovers.
So he showed up in his minivan, and and then we had some other friends here, and then Greg showed up, and my brother went with us, and. Yeah, we took over a nice section there. We got, I was so grateful we got into the front row. Because the front row at the drive-in is the place to be.
That's the sweet spot.
And even so, we were kind of on the side. It was still good.
It's a big enough screen.
Big enough screen. It was still good. Have my cooler full of snacks, and I have my cheese popcorn. Makes everything better. And I had the stereo set up, so I didn't have to rely on the car.
Oh yeah, you always got to do that.
But we turned around. When Pat came back from getting snacks and stuff at the refreshment stand, as the movie was starting, she said that the entire half of the drive-in was full, packed with cars from road to road. Okay, yeah. Regardless of yeah, where they were supposed to be parking, and it was the screen behind us. Halfway full, you know, the other screen, because you get two screens and divided by the concession booth, side and on the other side. Well, the other side was halfway full of people who had their cars turned around facing, so that they could watch the Avengers.
Well, that was John Carter with the Avengers.
And it was a double feature with John Carter, which is...
Awesome.
Sweet!
Yeah, anyone who says difference, idiot.
Yeah, I mean, that was an awesome film. Even Steve enjoyed it. He's like, it was kind of hard to follow, but last 30 minutes made it all worth it to him.
Oh,
so,
God, yeah.
It was awesome. So let's talk about Avengers a little bit. I know that it's kind of gotten mixed reviews. I mean, everybody agrees that it is eye candy. And
any of us who grow up watching the original Hulk and Spider-Man, the old that's just awesomeness.
It is. It is total and complete. And it follows hard on the heels of the Thor movie.
Yeah.
And if you have seen... I mean, you kind of need to have seen Thor.
Thor, Cap.
I think you could get by without having seen Captain America.
Yeah, but it just makes it cooler.
But yeah, if you've seen the other two Iron Man movies, Hulk, Thor, Captain America.
Yeah.
If you've seen the other five, then this just builds out of everything. The way the Avengers team book does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to read the solo heroes, and the team book makes everything better. Yeah. And this did that. This really, really did that. And it's getting, director Joss Whedon is getting a lot of praise for his handling of characterization.
Oh, yeah.
But what's driving me batty is the people who said, yeah, you know, there's not much plot, there's not much story.
There was a plot! Loki is trying to take over!
Well, see, think about that. Think about that for just a minute, alright? The plot on the Avengers, all the great character moments are there, no question about it.
Yeah.
All the great visual eye candy is there, no question about it.
Yeah.
But when you look at the plot, you've got the surface plot where, you know, the bad guy shows up and he's out to rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then the good guys show up, and of course, on the very first meeting, what do good guys do?
Get their ass kicked.
Well, they fight with each other.
Yeah, but that's minor.
You know,
I mean, the first hero got mind controlled.
It's a superhero trope. You know, okay, they fight with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and then they finally team up to defeat the bad guy. And you know what? If you want to take it for that's all it is, I suppose you can. But when you take a step back and look at the film, and especially if you stick around for that first teaser after the credits,
yes,
you know, you realize that you've got several layers of things that are going on here. Mm-hmm. Loki says, yes, he's out to rule the world. But
he's a pawn.
Well,
yes.
See, that goes a little bit deeper. There's what he's saying he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's out to rule the world, and he says that because that's what people are afraid of. That's why S.H.I.E.L.D. was formed.
Yeah.
To prevent this kind of thing of happening. So it gets an instant response for him.
Mm-hmm.
But what does he do when handed an organization by Hawkeye? You know, steps back and says, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
So Hawkeye is running Loki's evil organization. Loki doesn't really care about running the world,
mm-mm.
You know, taking over the world. His goal is just to hurt Thor.
Yeah, in the end.
Because, you know, Thor's like, why did you target the world I love for this? And
that's why.
And that's why. Loki is, he is mean and petty and vindictive, and everything he does is just because he likes to hurt people.
Well, he got spanked.
He did it that. Yeah. You know, and he never says this. He always says something else, but everything that comes out of Loki's mouth is a lie. That's right. But so I mean, you peel back and you've got this story about a very petty man who's just being mean and spiteful to be mean and spiteful, and you've got some strong character contrast there between Loki and the Avengers team and the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
But you peel that back, and you see that all of this is just manipulation by yet somebody else,
mm-hmm.
who is not really interested in fighting. You know, he's not interested in taking over the world. He's not really interested in hurting people for the sake of hurting people. And the way Loki is, his interest lies a little more esoteric. He's interested in engaging the Earth in a higher form of warfare. A phrase that Thor uses.
Yeah, yeah. Since you're now capable, this is a higher form. Yeah.
A higher form of warfare. And that is one of the subtexts that the movie is about. And, I mean, there's just so many, many, many other things that can be, that can be taken away from this film. I think it has actually replaced both Sucker Punch and Fight Club on my list.
No, Fight Club. Fight Club's a different genre, totally. This is superhero. I don't care. I can compartmentalize.
I'm thinking...
I still grab Fight Club.
Movie of all time with the most to say, the most important, the most important literary message behind it with the highest quality... You know, Fight Club and Sucker Punch were right up there because they're very different movies saying very different things.
Yeah.
But I think The Avengers has a universality to it that embraces both of those messages and delivers the popcorn flick eye candy that everybody was really wanting.
I don't know. Super Shark's up there.
Oh, well, yeah. You're right. And Super Shark is...
Jeez.
Yeah. You know, and then there's the...
Jeez. I mean...
I guess there's also the possibility that I'm putting too much into it.
And you're a comic
too much
book
effort
junkie.
To it. Yeah, but see, I'm a comic book junkie, and I'm a story guy. Mm-hmm. So I kind of speak the same language that Joss Whedon does.
I saw the story. I got my eye candy.
I
liked it.
You're happy.
Yeah, I mean, I went there to be entertained, not to analyze. If I analyzed, I watched it 20-some-odd times, then I'm in.
We'll get there. I mean, it'll hit Blu-ray.
I haven't found a movie. No, I'm still looking for that one movie that I like enough that I do what I did with Fight Club, and I kept going back to the theater.
Well, you know what? I'm there. I saw it Friday morning. I saw it again Saturday night. I wanted to go back Monday morning. I almost snuck out... I almost ditched work to go and see the Avengers at the early showing.
I don't know.
Just because. And, yeah, I'm there.
So you're there. I got my Fight Club. Because they still can't believe at work I did that too many times.
Well, shame on them.
I don't care.
Anyway, the Avengers and then John Carter. John Carter is awesome. I really, really want a sequel.
I don't think it'll be one.
I dread.
Hope, but since they said they're writing it off, that means it's just going to be thrown to the.
And it was just a mistake in marketing, is all, because it was an excellent film.
Yeah.
Doesn't really follow the novel.
Didn't need to. It was close
but
enough.
Edgar Rice Burroughs had great ideas, but I don't think his novels would make very good movies when faithfully translated.
No, they won't. I've been rereading. No.
And, yeah. So the adaptation that they did, I thought, was very true to the story and very true to the characters and was a freaking awesome movie.
Yeah. It was just Just everything.
Yeah, and if we don't get a sequel, I guess I can live. I mean, we got a complete story.
Yeah.
But I want more.
We know what happens, so we got the picture to follow.
Yeah, I want more, and I've got the books, so. And if you've not read A Princess of Mars and the other books in the John Carter series, the first three are on the Critical Press Media website. It's a free download. Go get them for your ebook reader. Go get them. I've compiled them into a volume called Under the Moons of Mars, which was going to be the original title for A Princess of Mars.
Yeah.
And the first three books really... is John Carter's and Dejah Thoris' story.
Yeah.
And after that, they do a whole bunch of other stuff, other adventures on Mars.
And the other groups, factions, sent them in, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, his son, Carthoris.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the first three are just really, really excellent books.
Mm-hmm.
So, but John Carter was another one that had... a lot of depth to it.
No toys.
It didn't. I know. What's up with that?
Easy got screwed. If they wanted a promotion, they should have made the toys.
They should have gone for toys.
God, airship toys.
You know what? I blame. Oh.
I would have bought one.
I know. Dude, we had little battles here on the coffee table, okay? Kantos Kan and Dejah Thor, versus the Tharks and the Warhoon.
Mars game. Savage Worlds.
We'd have gone there, man. Yeah.
But no.
No. You know, I blame Disney for this.
Yeah.
Because Disney has grown complacent. They have, every time they make something, they've got licensees beating down their door, saying, hey, give us this property to do with, give us this IP to do with.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think Mattel or Hasbro or any of the usual channels recognized the potential of the IP.
Or could it have been that they wanted to put more into the Avenger toy crap? Because that stuff's like exploding.
Could have been.
So, yeah,
also, I wonder if there was a trademark issues with the Edgar Rice Burroughs Foundation.
About, you know, they could do the movie, but the extra stuff was...
Yeah.
The merchandising was separate.
I wonder if... Because that, you know what, now that I think about it, that may be far more likely.
That sucks.
But we'll always have John Carter. And the Asylum's version, which was A Princess of Mars, starring Antonio Sabato Jr. and Tracy Lords, recently re-released as John Carter of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else is the same. They just changed the title
to
match the Disney movie, right?
Well, since Disney movie ain't coming out for a while still, it's going to be scheduled.
And I picked up my Asylum release from Target for like $5.
Yeah.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
Anyway, great fun, good movie,
excellent.
good times. But unfortunately, all of this is about to be moot, isn't it, Kurt?
Yes.
Yeah, because yet another apocalypse is upon us.
Yes, the Amish apocalypse.
The Amish apocalypse. The Amish uprising. When all things will turn Amish.
All things monetary and technological are abandoned by those who want something simpler.
So we finally decided that the Amish uprising, the Amish apocalypse, would take the form of how do we put this?
So,
would take the form of a mass conversion on a global scale. All right, because an apocalypse happens on a global scale.
Well, yeah, but if the United States was it, that might as well be global.
And it, I know, right?
They're importers.
It happens on a global scale, and it changes the status quo for all life on Earth.
Yeah.
So the Amish uprising occurs when a mass conversion of people to the Amish faith on a global scale.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Amish apocalypse. Welcome to doom.
Say bye-bye to your iPhone.
Exactly. Now, we started talking about this. What are some of the immediate effects of the Amish apocalypse? Because we had to, and this kind of sucks. We had to do research.
I know. We had to work once. I'm glad that National Geographic put that one show on.
Amish Out of Order. Well, that's what prompted this.
Yeah.
Amish Out of Order on the National Geographic channel. It's been an interesting show. I think it's kind of... It seems kind of biased towards
the outsiders.
Yeah.
But
what do you expect?
You can't get more from the Amish themselves because a bunch of them don't want to be filmed.
Right. And one of the important things that we discovered is that these people are not Luddites. They're not against technology. They're not even against labor-saving technology.
They're for being self-sufficient.
Self-sufficiency,
not dependent
right.
on anyone else or
right.
anything.
They're natural preppers.
Well, that's what we said the first time we saw preppers.
Yeah, they're the Amish.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they use electric lights, and they use washing machines and refrigerators mm-hmm. and things like that. And, you know, depending on your Ordnung, depending on the strictness of your faith,
yeah.
A labor-saving device like a washing machine or a refrigerator or something may be deemed not evil,
no.
but conducive to not building character.
Yeah.
Because one of the principal tenets of the faith is that hard work builds character.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's it's not that they're against technology. I mean, they have all of these conveniences.
Yeah, the more we watch, the more we see. Some had tractors and all that stuff. So it's just the fact that they want to be not dependent on anyone else.
Right. They can have electricity, but they can't be connected to the public grid.
Yeah.
So it's hugely self-sufficient in that way. And they want to be off of that's off the power grid, and mm-hmm. they want to be off the communications grid.
Yeah.
Because the advent of mass communication, television and mm-hmm. radio and video games and all of this stuff is seen as introducing ideas and moral... I don't want to say moral questions because that's not mm-hmm. the right word, but moral relativism into a life which says very, very strictly this one book, you know, the Bible has everything that we need,
mm-hmm.
and yes, all of this is entertaining and it's great, but
you don't need it.
And every minute that you spend consuming entertainment is time that you are not spending producing, producing hard work or building your character. And it's not like they're against entertainment either, because, you know, these people have their dances and have mm-hmm. their social gatherings and perform live music and things that are participatory in nature.
Yeah,
and especially communal in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it's been kind of educational.
What?
I know.
What the heck's the purpose of that?
I know, right? What's the fun in that?
Was educational. That wasn't educational. This is theology.
Well, it's not quite, but yeah,
it's good enough for me.
The theology is a strong part of it,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of this isn't theological in nature. It comes from a desire to have that theological base.
Yeah,
but I mean, the Bible doesn't say get thee away from society. It says, and, you know, actually, our instruction is to be in the world and not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the popular view, the common view of Amish, and the general general outlook of the faith is that you want to be near the world,
yes,
but not in the world, and certainly not of the world.
Yeah.
So, anyway. The Amish apocalypse, people want something simpler. Whether or not they embrace the Amish faith, the Amish apocalypse occurs when a large number of people...
Mass exodus.
Mass exodus.
To the Amish way.
So immediately we are going to lose public services.
Yes, because those skilled people will be gone.
The power grids will collapse.
Eventually, if we don't have enough people to maintain them. Which
the communication networks will collapse.
Hallelujah.
Satellite technology will collapse.
Yes.
And basically anything that depends on
constant maintenance or someone overseeing it.
Well, I was going to say a distributed network of individuals.
Yeah, but still, they always have someone manning the thing to keep it going or whatever. They're
right.
Gone. It breaks, it's broke.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And so we're probably looking at a setback to those of us who decide to remain in civilization.
Yes.
Civilization being defined as the globally connected network of metropolitan areas.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking at a setback to the turn of the 20th century, the 1890s.
Golden years.
Well, I'm really thinking the 1890s,
yeah.
When electricity existed but was not pervasive.
True.
When technology was available but not
widely consumed.
Yeah. And individual communities were largely self-sufficient. I mean, right now, America imports, oh my gosh.
A lot.
We import, I was looking at these numbers not too recently, doggone it, from a marketing class.
Yeah.
Something like 30% of what we need is imported instead of produced here at home.
Yeah.
And that's just on the food basis. Maybe I have those numbers wrong. Maybe it's the other way around. And we make 30%. Anyway, our economy is global now.
Yes.
And we'd be going back to a national economy, and even smaller than that, into individual city states.
Oh yeah.
So
Greece style.
We have no internet. We probably have radio.
Yeah, ham radios too.
Ham radios. Because those aren't gonna go away, but definitely no internet, no pervasive telephone service either. The cell phone network will collapse.
Oh yeah.
So it'll be back to hard lines.
Yes.
We'll be back, yes, back to
rotary
hard lines.
Dial. The generation going. What the hell's that?
That's right. So having identified the situation. And since we are surviving the apocalypse, it means that the one course of action which we can't actually take is probably would probably have been our preferred course of action.
Bugging out.
It was to go join a local.
Yeah, go join the Amish.
Doggone it! Jesus. They got good potato salad. So we can't join the Amish.
No, we're gonna try and maintain our society.
We got to maintain our society. We got to bug out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because Evansville's not a suitable place to attempt to rebuild society. We don't. Well, I said no. It was because we don't have industrial manufacturing here.
No, we got it on a small scale. We hunted around, but not all enough right. To rebuild society.
So I guess we could actually skip the bugging out. We still have the river.
Yeah.
Which means we're still a point of commerce.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd still be able to travel.
Yeah, we got Pigeon Creek, so there's the highway. That's an expressway, no lights.
Right. And just by following the river, we can get to and from Louisville and Nashville.
Yeah, other towns, yes.
I don't think there's a convenient way to get to St. Louis or to Indy or...
Nah. Nah, because...
From where we are.
Yeah, who'd want to?
I think we could get to St. Louis. We'd have to head up river, though.
Yeah, when we hit down to towards Paducah around there.
Yeah.
Then we'd have to head back up.
So as far as bugging out, and being where we are, I mean, the Amish apocalypse, they'll still be able to... I mean, they'll be willing to sell us their food and stuff,
yeah,
right?
They'll be willing to trade.
Yeah, they'll be willing to trade. We've got good farmland around here, so...
Yeah.
I guess bugging out's not as big an issue here.
No, we just got to find a nice location to start, that's all.
So we're going to skip bugging out for the Amish apocalypse. and we're gonna bug in. We're gonna skip right to digging in.
Yeah.
So, Kurt, where do we dig in? That's the big question.
Well, since we'll be low on tech or something, I'd say we have to move to where we're near field and a water source closer. Closer to the river down where the fertile field land is.
Okay.
Start there.
All right.
Some of the high ground maybe down there by the sewage treatment plant. Because there's that field, you know, those houses right. down there, and then there's the fields.
Right.
And the river's right there.
We're going to need to secure positions within the new community structure. I'm actually thinking that our primary focus should be the Main Street Library, the main library downtown.
Oh, the new big, one?
Yeah, the big one. Yeah, big two and a half floors worth of mm-hmm. printed knowledge.
What the hell's that?
I know, exactly.
books?
Yeah.
Need something to wipe my butt.
We've got entertainment.
True, and they have a nice DVD collection.
How long is that going to last?
As long as I got a generator and some gas long enough.
We'll put the boy on
until
a pedal bike.
Until I get a windmill up there or a paddle wheel in the river, I'm generating yeah. some juice for that.
Well, remember, high technology like that depends on a large industrial base, a large...
It's just for me. I don't care. Oh. Yeah, it's my paddle wheel, my little thing, because I can work that out, because those are Eric Flint 1632 books.
Okay.
They did that.
All right.
I'm like,
so we'll
yeah.
use the television stuff we had until they...
Oh, yeah, until they break.
Until they break.
Then we'll just go back to books, because we got plenty we ain't touch.
But more than that, I mean, there's a ton of practical knowledge there.
Yeah.
So we can find the self-sufficiency knowledge
yeah,
that
I'll find
we
my way
need.
To build my paddle wheel that generates right. enough juice. Hell, we'll go. Oh God, Greg will be happy as hell.
Yep.
Steam.
Yeah, steam.
Oh hell, he'll yep. be living at the trains at the museum.
Yep. So yeah, I'm in favor of digging in at the library.
Well, there's our power source.
The river?
No, damn mass steam engine locomotives at the museum.
Oh yeah.
Power
yes.
up, turn the crank, done deal.
Yeah, there we go.
We can burn the books. Oh.
Just the bad ones.
Yeah. You
know, these are the ones we don't like.
All right.
The harlequins and stuff.
We might have to keep some. Some women will kill us.
Oh, yeah, well. So we're going to dig in at the public library.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we'll make the museum
and
our
the
power
Evansville
station.
Museum. There we go. Yep.
That'll
dig
be our
in.
Power station.
And just start learning to cut back on everything.
Yeah. And getting what we do. Eric Flint style. I like that.
Yep. And then, of course, our final final part of this is fight back. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where the telephone lines come in. All right? Because the first part of fighting back against the Amish uprising is, doggone it, we are going to have our coast-to-coast communications network. You will not take this away from me.
Beep, 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 beep.
So, as part of fighting back, we learn Morse code.
Yeah.
And resurrect the telegraph system.
Is the new Facebook.
Hey, did you see what Diane just dotted?
Oh, God, that's too long.
Yeah,
never
She's
mind.
Chatty.
I'm writing her and mailing her.
Yeah, that's when Kevin Costner shows up. And
mailman, postman, there you go.
Postman's here.
All right. You were famous.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our plan in the event of the Amish apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
To dig in, not really bugging out, maybe bugging out of the suburbs here and digging in downtown.
Yeah, someplace a little bit more rural, but...
Yeah, and rebuild civilization around the city center on mm-hmm. On the river.
Oh, yeah.
And... you know, we can be relatively self-sufficient there.
Yeah.
And still have access to the source for rebuilding our high technology, which is how we will fight back. Oh, that ham radio operators.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have ham radios and stuff.
They can be set up on a skyscraper getting huge range.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. Resurrect AM radio because it's easy to make. Yeah, we got TV and radio stations downtown too. Everything we need to rebuild civilization in the face of the Amish apocalypse is downtown. So yeah, that's how we fight back.
Yep.
That's how we fight back. So that's our plan. That's our apocalypse for this week. The next week, be sure to join us for yet another earth-shattering event that changes the state of life as we know it. And next week, we are prepping for...
When the animals take the world back.
Yes. When Mother Nature takes back what is hers. Oh, God.
Those deers aren't just jumping out in front of your cars. They're attacking.
And this was...
Are the scouts.
This was a trope of movies back in the 70s. 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
70s and early 80s. And we first started talking about this after watching Kingdom of the Spiders, wasn't it?
Yeah. How was that?
With William Shatner. And
that's the Valley of the Spiders.
No, Kingdom.
Was it Kingdom?
Kingdom.
What was the Valley? Was
there a Valley? I don't know that one.
Was it that Valley of the Ants?
Valley of the Ants.
Yeah, that was that one. Okay.
Yeah. Damn. And there actually was a movie called When Animals Attack.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the name of it.
Yeah, because I've seen the...
Where a radiation... started making animals at high altitudes turn around and attack people, and eventually,
man,
yeah. But this was a fuel for paranoia in the 70s and 80s,
just like all those movies, Grizzly,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, the spiders, the ants, the Night of the Lepus. And if you catch that reference, then you are beyond help and need to prep with us.
You are joined by the cult. Oh, the snake ones. Oh, God.
Yeah, a ton of them.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the giant monster movies.
No, just the ones.
Just the one, yeah, where ordinary animals...
Cujo.
Yeah, ordinary animals go Cujo on major population centers. The birds.
Yeah.
Didn't they do one with bees? I'm sure somebody did.
Oh, yeah, there's a bee one. Killer Bees, Sci-Fi Channel original.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, you name it, Wasp.
Yeah. Yeah, there are tons of these. So... That's what we're going to be doing next week when animals attack. We got to work apocalypse into this somehow.
Well, it's apocalypse. The
animal apocalypse.
Yeah, just think when your family pet tries to kill you.
The nature apocalypse.
Mother Nature's apocalypse.
The Gaian apocalypse.
Earth Day apocalypse. There it is.
That's what we're going
with. Boom!
Earth Day apocalypse. So when the Earth Day apocalypse, when the Earth Day apocalypse happens, we'll be prepped. The question is,
will you?